from the BizTalk Radio Network, broadcasting from AM and FM stations around the country. Welcome to the Small Business Administration award-winning School for Startups Radio, where we talk all things small business and entrepreneurship. Now, here is your host, the guy that believes anyone can be a successful entrepreneur, because entrepreneurship is not about creativity, risk, or passion, Jim Beach.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting edition of School for Startups Radio. I want to start off by offering up my prayers to all of you in Alabama. The show is heard in Opelika there, and I know that that area has just been devastated. Prayers and thoughts to all of you. We've got a great show for you today. We're very excited. We're going to speak with Chase Diamond. We're going to start with him and talk all about email marketing and how important that is. So we've got some great information. We're going to talk about a new pet business today. We've got some great stuff coming up for you. So let's jump right in. Very excited to introduce you to my first guest. I think you're going to learn a lot, and he is doing a lot. He is the founder of two companies that we're going to talk about today. He's, prior to that, done some other companies. But right now, he is working as a partner at Boundless Labs, which is a marketing shop. And they focus on all sorts of niches, but we're going to hopefully talk about email and some of the other things that they're doing really cool that's progressive in the space right now. He's also the co-founder of a company called Zen Pup, which is, from as far as I can tell, just gets pets really high. And then he is also the guy behind one of the cooler dating websites out there, the BernieSingles.com for the Bernie Sanders crowd. Chase Diamond, welcome to the show. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great, thank you. Really happy to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Very cool collection of stuff. Let me ask you this. Do you have shiny ball syndrome? Are you doing too many things? Is your vision spread? I have that, so I'm not I just want to let you know I'm guilty, and I maybe get that. Or, what do you think?
Yeah, that's a great question. I definitely noticed times in my career that's definitely the case. From past failures, have corrected that in the future. So I spent the past year working on Boundless Labs before I got Zen Pup up and live. So I got Boundless to a place where it was really kind of reliable and scalable and maintenance before I even considered Zen Pup. But kind of juggling the two now, it's definitely tougher than I remember, tougher than I imagined. So I do tend to get that, but working on getting better.
All right. Zen Pup is an online retail business, right?
Yep, Zen Pup is an online brand that sells CBD for dogs. So the goal there being helping dogs become less anxious.
All right, we're going to talk about that later. Let me ask about this part, though. That's not a hugely time-sensitive business or time-suck, right? That doesn't take that much time, does it?
Right now, it doesn't. Right now, Zen Pup is a side hustle, if you'd call it that.
Okay.
Spending probably about 10 hours a week.
Okay, perfect. That's about what I anticipated. And I do want to talk about the product later. I do think that it's really going to be a fun conversation, but let's talk about the more important thing, Boundless Labs right now. Y'all are really doing some cool stuff there. And I didn't sell that hard enough when I was introducing you, because you're doing so many other things, Chase, but let me just talk about some of the success that you have had at Boundless. They generated 1.5 million visitors for an online dating site in the first 2 months. They acquired 500,000 subscribers in 10 months for a travel email newsletter. They drove over 350,000 unique clicks for a cold email campaign 2 years ago. They acquired 20,000 users in 3 weeks for an anonymous location polling app. They generated $175,000 in revenue in 3 months working as an intern, and acquired 1.5 million total followers on Instagram for clients. Damn, Chase, is all I have to say. That's my official comment.
Thank you.
Damn.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So tell us about the business. Go into the verticals and then start to give us a little bit of what the secret sauce is there. So Boundless Labs, tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Boundless Labs actually started kind of by accident. So I was building my own brand, consulting with brands kind of as a freelancer. And as demand started to increase, I had a really good feeling about being able to do this full time and building out a team to really work with some cool brands and do some cool stuff. So when we first started, we offered any and every service under the sun. PPC, SEO, email, influencer, you name it. If you wanted it, we could do it, or so we said we could. And we started working with some small clients that were just getting started, and you know, things went okay there. We had some success, but with small brands like that, it was really hard to kind of retain them. So about 6 months ago, we switched to focusing primarily on email marketing. And that switch actually allowed us going from small mom and pop shops to working with household names that you'd recognize. So a big client of ours is Clover Healthcare, and they're valued at over $1 billion. And we're working with, you know, other companies that do 8 figures a year in revenue. So by switching our focus and really going all in on email marketing and becoming one of the top agencies, word started getting out and inbound started piling in. So we've been doing some really cool stuff, primarily in the e-commerce space. And we're working with all different kinds of e-commerce brands, helping them scale their email marketing efforts to ultimately acquire customers and turn those customers into paying members.
All right, Chase, I have so many follow-ups. Let's start, though, with, well, congratulations. Let's start there. Amazing success. I love your story. So why do you think that email marketing was one of the products that clicked so importantly for your business? I would suspect because so many email marketing businesses are scams and full of BS, right? What are your thoughts on why your business got caught on?
Yeah, I think there's a few reasons. I think one is the fact that I'm so personally passionate about email and have so much experience with email. So a lot of the brands that I've built personally leveraged email, either cold email or opt-in email marketing, to drive tons of engagement and revenue. So I think the personal fact that I had these case studies and this experience really got brands that we were working with excited about it. And the fact that we had so much experience with it, we really learned from doing a lot of things the wrong way. And actually spamming people in the past, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when I first started. So really working on refining that and sending people content as well as offers. We're not just jamming offers down people's throats. We're really making it very relevant, and we're making it so that people want to purchase from us. And it's through building trust, whether that's from showing the press outlets we've been on, the influencers that we work with, any celebrity endorsements, customer reviews. So the way that we look at email is all around building trust and delivering value to our audience. And in return, they're purchasing from us time and time again.
Well, Chase, that makes a lot of sense. That's what everyone is trying to do, the relationship, the trust that you talk about. So how do I do that in an email? Is it, as you said, content driven? I send you lots and lots of valuable content, stuff that's relevant to you, and therefore you start to trust me. Is it that simple?
Yes and no. I think a lot of people feel that they have to send everything they want to say in a single email or send someone an email every single day. So I think it goes back to the cadence and kind of the timing and the frequency. So I think, you know, being transparent when you first collect someone's email about what the expectation, that really sets the tone from everything that's to follow, right? And if you plan on spamming people every single day, be transparent about it, or else you're going to lose subscribers. They're going to opt out. So I think the first thing that we do is from the get-go, we set the tone on how we're going to manage this relationship. And at the very end of the day, if we do a poor job managing, we see people opt out. So I think that's the first piece in establishing trust, is tell people what you're going to do and then hold to it. And then from there, we always introduce people through a welcome series, we call it, to the brand. So they might have heard about them. They might have seen a Facebook ad. They might have heard about it from a friend. We want to take the chance that no matter how someone found us, that we educate them on who we are, why we matter, and how we're different. And each of those things has different things that we include. So like I mentioned, if you're on CNBC, if you're on CNN, if you were featured in a magazine, tell people about that, link to the article, let them read about that. Another big thing is influencers and celebrity testimonials. So if you're working with influencers or celebrities, you know, get a video of them talking about your product, get a written screenshot of them posting about it to you in an email. And then the other one really is customer reviews, right? So the more customer reviews you have, the better the rating. To show customers that, allow them to read it. And at the end of the day, in every email, we ask people, if you have questions, please hit reply, and we reply to every single email.
And I think you already alluded to this, but how frequently do you think that you should hit someone? You alluded to every day being too frequent, I think. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think daily is a bit extreme. No one wants to hear from a brand every single day. Most brands that we're working with, you know, have some kind of touch point with the customer every 3 or 4 days. So, you know, maybe throughout the month you're communicating with someone, let's call it 6 times, right? And again, every brand is really different. Some brands are producing a lot of helpful content and are doing less selling, can get away with sending more often and more frequently because they're not pushing products down people's throats. But if you really are trying to push offers as your primary thing, in a lot of ways, less is more.
Yes, that is very true. We need to take a break. We will be right back with more with Chase Diamond in just a second. We're going to talk about his pet business. This is fascinating. Stick with us. And welcome back to the show again. Thank you so much for being with us. Again, we are speaking with Chase Diamond. We've been talking about his email marketing business. And now we want to switch gears and talk about his pet company. I think we'll find this fascinating too. Chase, we are back. All right, let's talk about Zen Pup. This is an amazing product in the company, it looks like. My only question, I don't want to really talk about the ethics and all of that, the morality of this. I want to talk about the product and stuff. My only real question is this, Chase, and I'm 100% serious. Do you sell this product for young children as well?
Sorry, apologies, you cut out. Do I sell this for, what was the last part?
Young children.
You're not the first person that's asked that. A lot of parents ask if there's a form for their children. So
yeah, okay.
We do not have that currently. We do not have that.
Right, that's what God invented Benadryl for. All right, Chase, yeah. Walk us through the company. I love this. I am a huge dog lover. And on the homepage, you have what I believe to be a Doberman with uncropped ears, just like mine. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Well, we have two Dobermans, both with uncropped ears. Ours don't have pointy ears. I just don't think dogs need plastic surgery. What about you, Chase?
I'm in the same class as you. I completely agree.
Yes. So anyway, that is a beautiful dog. It looks like one of my two Dobermans. Tell me about the product. How'd you get the inspiration for it? Is it safe? Just walk me through the whole business model.
Yeah, so this business launched at the end of 2018 in December, and myself and my partners on this business, huge dog lovers, dog owners, we were not impressed by the product offering across the board, CBD included, but just the health and the wellness of products that we are purchasing. You know, as a millennial, I'm very, you know, aware of what I'm putting into my own body,
Chase,
and even more so.
Let me interrupt you. Can you explain what CBD is for a lot of us?
Yeah, so CBD oil is derived, the one that we use derived from hemp, so comes from the same plant as marijuana, but the CBD oil itself does not have THC, and THC is the active ingredient in cannabis that gives you the feeling of being high. So CBD oil itself comes from a similar plant, but it makes you feel more relaxed and calm and not high, so it has all the same medicinal benefits without the feeling of being high.
Great. Okay, keep going now. So you were looking around, you didn't see anything that you liked.
Yeah, so as dog owners, dog parents ourselves, we had a hard time finding products that we felt good about giving to our pups. And as such, as you know, entrepreneurs ourselves and hearing about this CBD craze, we thought that we could do this better. So we spent months working with the chemist and the manufacturer, developing these products and going through an intensive R&D period. So we then formulated 3 products, CBD treats, CBD dry shampoo, and a CBD spray for a dog's food or mouth that is supposed to make the dog feel more calm and less anxious. And there's a lot of other use cases. That's the one I feel most confident about because more research truthfully does need to be done around CBD, but the calming effect is one that seems to be the most prevalent.
All right. So our dog, Sunny, and I just want you to note, Chase, that we have the best dog names in the world, we feel. We're very competitive about this. So our dogs are Sunny Beach and Wavy Beach. Get it? And so anyway, Sunny is very anxious during thunderstorms, right? Gets very upset. And we live in the deep south. We have a lot of thunderstorms, right? How would I use this with Sunny when a storm is anticipated? Drop this in with her puppy chow?
Yeah, exactly. So we do have some pet owners that use this on a daily basis, but I prefer to tell, you know, people that are looking at our products to use it on an as-needed basis. So weather, you know, thunderstorms, lightning, earthquakes, those are a very promising use case for kind of anxiety, right? So I would recommend giving your pet a treat when that happens to hopefully help calm them down. Another use case is around separation anxiety, right? So you leave for work for the day, know your dog is anxious and waiting for you to come home. So maybe giving him a treat before you leave in the morning might help him for a few hours kind of calm down. So weather is one, separation is another. Those are kind of two of the most promising use cases, right? So I live in California, tons of fireworks. So people give their pet this treat before the fireworks show goes on, and it seems to help.
All right. Very interesting. I love the idea because this, you know, is a problem for me and my family with Sunny. So anyway, so were you a Bernie, were you feeling the burn, Bernie fan, and were you single at the same time? And is that where the website came from? Were you yourself just trying to find a girl?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I actually always tell people that, buying Bernie's singles actually was not a reflection one way or another on my political views. That's something I actually do keep private for better or for worse. So Bernie singles to me was actually more of a business than a case study. It was a site that we acquired a few weeks after they had launched and after they were struggling. And I was starting another agency a few years back at the time, and I saw Bernie singles as this epic case study for, you know, a new kind of minted recent college grad to have this real life experience and this real life case study that was going to be kind of in the center of this news. So I basically purchased Bernie Singles with two other partners to turn this into this case study for my marketing agency, and led to driving inbound clients. So that was the first piece. And I was not single at the time. So that was also another interesting piece. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for the time and the kind words. My personal email, if anyone has any questions or wants to reach out to me, is my first and last name. So Chase, like the bank, Chase, Diamond without the A, so Diamond. So Chase Diamond, no A in Diamond, at gmail.com is my personal email. Please feel free to email me with any questions. We'll get back to you as soon as possible. My agency website, Boundless Labs, is boundlesslabs.io. So boundlesslabs.io. And then my other site, Zenpup, is ZENPUP.co. So Zenpup.co.
Fantastic. I got to ask, you cannot give me the answer I know you're going to give me. You have to give me some answer or I will track you down and shoot a BB gun at your butt. Who do you like in the next presidential election? Or just give me the top three.
Yeah, so on that note, I'm bummed that I sold Bernie Singles. I really wish I still had that platform, not because, again, I wanted to vote for him, or not because I didn't want to vote for him, but because, again, that's an opportunity from a business perspective.
Yes.
And to be honest, I mean, I've been so heads down working and focused on building my businesses that, as sadly as it is, I don't actually even know who's all running other than Bernie Singles and a couple, or Bernie Sanders and a couple other folks. So
everybody is running. If they're a Democratic politician, they are running.
Yep. So I'll have to get back to you on that.
Oh, BS. Sure. In the next 24 hours, expect to get shot in the ass with a BB gun, Chase.
That's probably going to happen. All right.
Yeah. I just told you it's going to happen. You see, I can put that up on, like, you know, tackle.com or something, you know, one of those outsourcing websites where people will do any project for you, you know, and boom. I hope you don't die from it, Chase. That would be really sad. Thanks a lot for being on the show. You were a great guest. And what's your dog's name?
Thanks so much for having me. My fiance and our dog's name is Jack.
Good one. We will be right back. And welcome back to the show again. Thank you so much for being with us. You know, we love things that are low risk, low creativity. And because of that, I am so excited to introduce you to my first guest today. His name is Anton Creeley. He is the founder and CEO of a company called Dropship Lifestyle and also e-commerce lifestyle. So here's his story. He got out of college and decided he wanted to be an entrepreneur. He started with a cookie business. I love the idea, but he realized that he didn't want to do a physical business. And so he read that book, 4-Hour Work Week, and decided to explore e-commerce. And he discovered drop shipping. And for those of you who don't know what it is, we will teach you right here in a second. He has now taught 5,000 people to be drop shippers and to run this incredible type of e-commerce business. Anton, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me.
All right. For those who do not understand drop shipping, explain the model, please.
Sure. So it's actually relatively simple. Basically, what it means is you sell a product and then somebody else fulfills that order. So somebody goes to your website, they add something to their shopping cart, they check out, you get the money, and then somebody else will ship that item to your customer for you. So from a 30,000-foot view, that's how the model works.
All right. And there's some huge advantages to that. The drop shipper does a ton of your logistics for you. They do your inventory, your warehousing. A lot of them will handle returns too. So talk to me about the incredible advantages of drop shipping, and then we'll do the other side, the disadvantages. What are the great things about it?
Yeah, exactly. And that's correct. So when I first started, like you mentioned, I was selling cookies, and I was actually selling them from grocery store to grocery store with a delivery route for a bakery I had in Brooklyn, New York. And what happened is after I read that book, the 4-Hour Work Week, I thought, you know what, let me try to build an online store. This was back in 2007. So I went ahead and I set one up, figured it out, kind of spent like a weekend locked in a room trying to get things to work, got it to work, started making money. Then I started to actually bring in more expensive products from China. So things like furniture and home goods, but I was importing them at that time. So I was bringing in containers from China to Long Beach in California, then shipping them to my customers across the US. So I did that for a couple of years, and then I started to have different manufacturers actually reach out to me through my websites, and they said, hey, we see you sell, dining room tables. We actually have dining room tables in stock in our warehouses in the States. You can sell them, and if you get sales, we'll ship them to your customers for you. And when I first, thought about the possibilities here, I was just instantly attracted to it, because basically what it meant is instead of having to, spend tens of thousands of dollars, wait 40 days for a container to show up, ship it myself, deal with returns myself, instead of becoming that logistics person as a business owner, I basically became the marketer, the customer support side of it. And my job was now to get people to my website, get them to convert, to get sales, and then work with these partners who shipped items directly to my customers. Like you mentioned, they would take care of tracking numbers. If anyone ever wanted to return anything, it would go back to their warehouse instead of mine. So it basically removed part of the business from what I did, which allowed me to add in more products, to sell more, to scale. So it really allowed me to focus on what I'm good at and what I like doing rather than dealing with inventory.
All right. I love it. Fantastic. It just makes so much sense. Disadvantages, though, cost and other things. What are your disadvantages?
So cost, it really doesn't cost much. That's the good thing. You can start one of these businesses for relatively low amount of money. Disadvantage is, of course, you're doing something that other people can also do, which means there is competition. So it's not like you have your own product that nobody else has, which means you need to figure out ways to stand out with your website. You need to find ways to bring buyers in that your competitors aren't doing. So there's definitely more competition. Another disadvantage, I would say, when you compare it to the model of importing, is that the profit margins are smaller. So if you're bringing in products yourself, you do get rewarded, typically with profit margins that are about 50%. With dropshipping, we try to maintain 25 to 35% margin. So it's about half. But again, the benefit is that whole side of the business of laying out cash and having a warehouse is gone. So those are two things, though, that I would put in the disadvantage side.
Right. But a great starter business for somebody, which is one of the things we love about it. You mentioned that it's cheap to start a business like this. I mean, all you need is a relationship with a drop shipper and a website, right?
Yep. Right. And the websites, you know, it's so easy now, again, compared to how it used to be. But we use a website builder called Shopify. They're the biggest e-commerce platform in the world now. And, you know, it's something that anybody can learn how to use. I think we pay $29 a month. And that's something that allows us to build our website, to control the back end, so like upload products, accept orders. It allows us to actually even accept payments via credit card and debit card and PayPal and Google Payments. So it makes, you know, the money side easy. It allows us to do all the design. And again, I think $29 a month there. Now, the other expense that we have as store owners is to actually get the traffic to our site. So to go ahead and bring on visitors. And to do that, it's basically a matter of figuring out Google advertising and Facebook advertising.
Anton, let's skip that a second, and I want to come back to that in detail, all right? But for right now, let's start off with an analogy or an example. I want to sell candles, okay?
Yeah.
And I know that's a really popular dropship category. So walk me through the entire thing that it would take me to get my candle dropship business. You know, finding a partner, how would I go about that website? Just walk me through a little example.
Sure. So step one with that is I would say build the store first. So go choose whatever you want to call it, you know, jimscandles.com, get the domain, set up a basic store. It should take you no more than maybe 10 hours or so. And then what you're going to do is go on Google and just type in whatever type of candles you want to sell. So let's just say high-end candles. Then what I would recommend you do is open up every page you see on the first page results of Google, and then go through those web pages. And what you're trying to do is click on their About Us pages, their Contact Us pages, and you're trying to find ones that don't have physical locations. So try to identify who's selling these things that doesn't say, visit our store here, or we have a warehouse here. And when you find those are online only stores, what I would recommend you do is reach out to them and say, hey, this is Jim calling from Jim's Candles. We recently came across your website. It looks like you have, you know, a great product. We're sure our audience would love it. We would love to work with you where basically we become retailers for your brand. And is there any way that we could sell your products on our site? So build the site, find the people organically, reach out and form relationships via phone calls.
All right, Anton, that's a great example. I appreciate you walking us through that. There's one thing I don't understand. You said build the site and then go discover what my inventory is going to be. So explain that discrepancy to me. When I build the site, I still don't have a supplier yet, so I don't know what candles I have in my store, right? Or am I missing something?
Right. No, you're not. So what I would recommend you do when you build that site is just do a search on Google for stock images. You can just click a button that searches for royalty-free images. And then I would look for candles. So find some stock photos, put them on your site. You're not trying to get traffic and sales at that point, but you're having that set up so that when you find the companies you want to work with and you reach out to them, you could say, hey, go to this website. You could see, you know, what our site looks like, what your products would look like on our site. But what suppliers, especially the good ones, like legitimate suppliers, what they don't like is just people reaching out to them and saying, you know, hey, this is Anton. I'm thinking of selling your candles. Can you send me a price list? And then they'll say, okay, where are you calling from? And say, oh, I don't have a website, thinking about building one. They're not going to take that conversation or that relationship seriously. So that's why we build the site first.
Makes a lot of sense. And then I am now selling something that I physically do not possess. Someone else, we haven't figured this out yet. Who collects the money? I collect the money and then pay the drop shipper, right? They send the product on my behalf, and then I reimburse them or pay them for the product and their fees. Is that right?
That's correct. So when people go to your website and they check out, that money gets deposited in your account.
Right.
Typically, the way it works with most suppliers is they'll just either take a, you know, ideally a credit card from you or a debit card on file, and they'll just know that when orders get placed, they just charge it, they ship the item out, and it's just almost automatic. You know, they send you your invoice. But they typically don't have to, you know, you don't have to go to them then order. They just go ahead and charge you and ship it and charge you and ship it and just keep doing that.
All right. Awesome. And if it's a small product like the candles, I might be lucky to make $2 or $3 each. I don't want to make $2 or $3 per transaction, Anton. I want to make $200 or $300 or $500 per transaction. That makes sense. How can you help me there? What are your thoughts on that?
That's why I said high-end candles. I don't know if that's even a thing. But yeah,
I'm going to sell $4,000 candles. Anton.
Right, exactly.
They're going to have gold.
The average order value. Yeah. We want $1,000 or more per transaction. So we're not selling volume like that, but we're selling, like I mentioned before, you know, things like different home goods, like office furniture, things that people will spend $1,000, $1,500, $3,000.
Anton, we need to take a break. We will be right back. And welcome back to the final segment of the show. We sure do appreciate you being with us. So we've been talking with Anton Crawley about drop shipping, and we're going to change gears a little bit now and talk a little bit about some of the other back-end things that you need to know. Again, the model is drop shipping. You buy stuff. Well, actually, you don't even buy it. You sell stuff that you don't even own. You place an ad, sell it. Someone else fulfills it. You get paid. And all of a sudden, you're making money for stuff that you've never touched, never owned, never seen, never held in inventory. Someone does all of that for you. So that is drop shipping. Now we're going to talk about Shopify, the back end. And so we jump back in. Here we go. All right. A few minutes ago, I deflected you and said, let's talk about that later. Let's go back now to the entire lead gen thing, right? So are you driving people to your website with a back end of Shopify? Are you driving people to Shopify? Are there certain tricks you've learned, some hacks about Shopify to make the whole thing more profitable? Walk us through that piece now.
Sure. So when you use Shopify, you're setting up, basically, people don't know they're on a Shopify store. Again, you choose what your URL is, so what your domain name is. People, they don't know that. So we do send people straight to our stores. And the way we set up traffic is trying to get people not just to our stores, but direct to the product pages. So you could think of it this way. You know, if we were selling chandeliers and someone searched on Google for a chandelier, honestly, like we probably wouldn't even pay for that click. But if we did, we'd have to send them to the homepage of our website. Then they'd have to click, you know, what type of chandelier they wanted. Then they'd have to look at what we have available. Then they'd have to choose which one they like. Then they'd have to decide if they want to buy from us. So I guess you can call it a trick or a hack. But what we do is go for the long tail keywords. So right. Somebody searching for model name, SKU number, color, size, whatever, and then they search for that, then they see a link to that exact product on our website. So we're getting them very late in the buying cycle, and they already know what they want, and it just makes paid traffic a lot easier and a lot more profitable.
All right, that's great advice. And can we give a technical definition of long end of the tail? So if we have a J curve and a backward J curve, right? The J curves to the left. Yeah, so yep. A J curve that goes off to the right. The long tail means we want the things way far down the right, which has much fewer clicks, but then the cost is so much cheaper as well, right? Is that a good definite or explanation of the long tail, Anton?
It is. It is. There's less search volume because it's more specific. The cost is less because there's less people competing there. But the intent is very, very high. So the people searching for those are typically the people that want the item. So, you know, yeah, that's why, like, our sites, like, sometimes people, like, they're amazed. Like, if I have a website that does, you know, I don't want to, whatever, that, let's just say it does $1 million in sales and it gets 300 visitors a day. People are like, how is that possible without, you know, tons of people flooding your website? And it's because the people that come to the website are the people that are ready to buy. So our conversion rates are very high, which means we're not wasting a lot of money on ads, and we're getting that long tail, like you said, of very specific searches.
Again, we are speaking with Anton Crawley about his dropship empire. Anton, I want to learn from you, my friend. Tell us about your two learning centers. There's two different ones, right? One for dropship and one for e-commerce.
Yeah, that's correct. The drop shipping is specifically for what we've been talking about, selling the expensive products online, what I call high ticket e-commerce. And that is at dropshiplifestyle.com. And then the more general e-commerce, if people are importing or maybe you have an established store already, that is a podcast I do over at ecommercelifestyle.com.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. I didn't know that distinction. Thank you for that. What's the price, probably the price point on the lifestyle dropship lifestyle learning center?
Well, we actually have tons of free content. I do at least one free video a week. So like there's years of free content there. For our paid programs, they start at $1,500 and go up to $5,000 for a program where we build the site for you.
Okay. Well, that's what I expect. That's the a very fair price point. How long until I could do this, Anton? I'm committed. I'm going to go now and I'm going to binge your website and learn every damn thing there. I'm going to buy the 1500 package. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm not going to have you do it. Can I get up and running in 3 months?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So, obviously, you know, it depends on the person's previous skill set. It depends on how much time they put in per day. But typically what I try to get people set up for is to be making sales within 30 days. That means that if they come from just starting, that they're putting in probably an hour a day. So maybe at nights or on the weekends, but averaging about an hour a day for a month. And if the person does that, they follow the action tasks that I walk them through in my program, then the goal is to be having sales come in within 30 days.
All right. Give us another Shopify hack.
Oh man, there's so many. Okay. A big one is getting reviews from day one. So with the websites we build, right? Like people sometimes ask, like, why is someone going to, you know, trust the website that I build and literally nobody knows about because I set it up in a week. So a big reason that people buy online is from social proof and from testimonials. And a lot of times people think, well, if I'm just building a website and I don't have sales, then how do I get that social proof and how do I get those testimonials? So a big thing that we do that I would recommend you do and everybody does is reach out to the brands that you're going to be selling for, because many of them have been in business for a long time. Many of them have been featured in a lot of different big publications. Many of them already have testimonials and videos and all different things from different authorities talking about their products. And you just reach out to your sales rep, tell them what you're looking for, and typically they could send you different assets you can use on your website. So you could take a website that, again, has no sales yet and have a whole bunch of social proof and kind of brand equity built up based on the brands you're selling for. So do that from day one. You don't have to wait to get sales to start collecting social proof.
Great idea. I love that. We got time for one more. Can you give me one more hack?
Yeah, this is going to sound like a simple one, but it makes a huge difference. And it is answer the phone when people call your store and answer emails as quickly as possible. So these are, you know, lifestyle businesses, but I do obviously recommend having a phone number on your site if you're selling expensive products. And it's amazing even now how many people will call in to us and they'll say, wow, I can't believe it. You guys are the first people that answered the call. So just doing that will get you sales, or else the buyer, like we talked about earlier, you do have competition. And if they want to ask you a question or they want to order over the phone and you don't answer, they're going to call the next store. So pick up the phone.
Great advice. Great advice. Anton, how can we find out more? Follow you online, all that stuff, please.
Yep. Everything is linked up off of dropshiplifestyle.com. So that's the best hub for everything.
Fantastic. Thanks for being with us. Great stuff, and I hope you'll come back soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Jim.
I want to thank both of my guests. Thank you, our loyal listeners. We will be back next week with more great School for Startups Radio. Have a great week, everybody. Be safe.